Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Well, as the kids like to say in the radio business, that was a cold open. Welcome to the program. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and it's good to be back with you, even though we are not currently live. Some weeks being live works, some weeks it doesn't, but we are recording this close enough to air date where everything we're going to be discussing today is minty fresh, also, as the kids like to say. Well, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another, as the old saying goes. So as the coronavirus started losing steam, as more and more people have decided to brave the elements and come out of their hovels to feel the sunshine on their pale faces once again, there was an incident in Minneapolis. Now, if you've watched the video, you know what happened. There was an officer with his knee on a man's neck, which it was a horrible thing to watch. The man kept saying he couldn't breathe. And he ended up, you know, expiring, passing away, dying. The officers involved were summarily fired. Personally, I do believe that charges should be brought because no human being ought to have another human being resting their knees on their neck for an extended period of time. But the thing that I find troubling is that it was instantly turned into a racial issue. Now, there are plenty of Spanish people. There are plenty of white people. There are plenty of Asian people, although the Asians, not so much with criminality. But there's plenty of people that die in police custody, yet somehow it doesn't become about race. Well, this, again, became a racial incident, and overnight, Minneapolis started a burning, and looters started a looting, and an old lady in a wheelchair was beat up, so violently so. I saw that video, too, because when I come to talk to you, I like to be informed. I like to be up to date as far as what, again, I believe that the officers were completely out of line. I do believe that at some point they're going to get charged. I don't think they're going to get charged with premeditated murder, but manslaughter probably on the table, because it's a hard thing to watch and not cringe and not turn away. Watching a man squirm underneath another man's knee saying he couldn't breathe and the guy just not doing anything. Now, I understand there are those, especially the Facebook warriors, that insist that if you stood there and watched this and did nothing, then you too are a murderer. Well, if you're an average citizen and you try to go and attack a cop while arresting somebody, guess what's going to happen to you? And it's probably not going to be arrest. Adrenaline is already flowing. They see you as a threat. And they'll likely put you down permanently. Gunshots hurt. Now, horrible. It was horrible. But I don't believe that people that were passerbys, that were just witnesses, could have done anything to impact the situation. They were screaming, hey, get off him. He's not moving. Get off him. He can't breathe. But what more could those people have done? Again, there are reasons you don't rush a police officer unless you really want to try suicide by cop on for size. So I disagree with that mindset. Oh, if you didn't do anything, well, then you too are a murderer. No, it's the guy that had his knee on the other man's neck, if you want to, I guess, pin someone down for being a murderer. I honestly, I don't believe any officer of the law, whether a good cop or bad cop, wakes up in the morning and goes, I'm going to kill me somebody today. So you can't prove premeditation with this. I'm sorry. I understand that some people want to see them, you know, hanging high, the electric chair, whatever, because there's plenty of people just outraged. But if you look at it from an objective standpoint, it was a horrible thing that happened. I do not believe that the officer was in the right, but calling it premeditated murder is a bit of a stretch. That said, what was it? A Target was looted, an AutoZone was burnt down, and this thing has extended into Los Angeles. Now, again, my question, and it's a reasonable question, how do you get justice for someone by beating up old ladies in wheelchairs and burning down businesses in your neighborhood? If you can come up with an answer, okay, then justify it to yourself. See, the problem is there are those on the sidelines that are stoking the fire of race. I don't see this as having been a racial issue. The man happened to be black. But he wasn't targeted for being black. He was targeted, apparently, because he was trying to pass off a fake $20 bill. Did he deserve to die for that? No, absolutely not. However, this was not about race. The police were called, they responded, and what happened, happened. To justify burning down a city because of what happened is a bit of a stretch. Now, I understand. Tempers are flared. Tempers are high. I don't think this thing's over by a long shot. I think we're going to see a repeat of last night tonight in Minneapolis. And there's one person that was already gunned down. He's already dead in Minneapolis due to this. He was shot overnight outside a pawn shop. However you fall, whichever side you fall on this issue, I don't care how passionate you are. You cannot bring yourself to justify violence against innocent people. You cannot bring yourself to justify burning down businesses and looting businesses because of what happened. Should the men be prosecuted? Most definitively. But when you take justice in your own hands, you're not trying to uphold the rule of law. What you're doing is you're rioting, you're looting. You are committing crimes because in some twisted fashion, you think that you're doing good. Now, I know that most of the people that are taking advantage of the situation and running out of stores with vacuum cleaners and televisions, couldn't care less about the man who died. They saw an opportunity. They took the opportunity. They got them something. But if, as a community, these sort of things are not condemned, the looting, the violence, the burning, if these things are not condemned, they will continue to cycle and repeat. And the divide will grow ever wider because some people may have been sympathetic to the entire thing up until businesses started burning. Some people may have been sympathetic to the entire thing up until old ladies in wheelchairs got the snot beat out of them. So that's what the breaking news is today. And I wish it were something else. I wish it was something pleasant that took our eyes off the coronavirus, but no, it's this. And the reason that every media outlet has latched onto it and the reason they're trying to format it the way they are is because they realize the whole coronavirus fear is losing steam. One of the pieces of news that came out as recently as this morning, actually, was that the Centers for Disease Control have determined that the fatality rate of the coronavirus is 0.26%. That is a quarter of 1%. Technically, they say it's 8 to 15 times lower than they estimated. Let that sink in, because some states aren't easing at all. Some states are getting even more and more totalitarian. What was it? Virginia just ordered every person must wear a mask when they walk into a business. Like, any business that requires me to wear a mask doesn't get my business, period. That's the way I feel about it. And it's not because I'm some macho man or anything like that, but I don't want to feed the narrative that this is as deadly as some people say it is. The CDC, Centers for Disease Control, 0.26. We're going to get into that because it's important. Because you need to understand what is realistic fear and what is panic driven by propaganda. And if something is panic driven by propaganda, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose? Why are they attempting to stoke panic? Why are they pushing the propaganda that they're pushing? Because there is an underlying reason for the things that they do. And it's not just extra clicks and it's not just extra revenue. There is an undergirding principle, an agenda here. And in order for their agenda to succeed, they must continue to stoke fear. They must continue to stoke resentment. They must continue to pit people against people. For no other reason than what? The color of their skin. Look, there may be racism in America. I'm not saying there isn't. But to hear some people say it, you'd think that every person and their uncle was a racist. I don't believe that to be the case. I am unconcerned with someone's skin color. The only thing that concerns me is that they're a person of their word and that they do what they said they would do. That's it. It doesn't enter the equation whether they're yellow or pasty or white or redheaded or black. And I know that most people feel the same way. But you have the race hustlers and you have the race pimps that this is all they know how to do. Pit one group of people against another group of people because that's the only way they exist. That's the only way they survive. That's the only way they make money. And they're willing to stoke fear to the point that people are suspicious of their neighbors just because of their skin color. They're willing to stoke rage to the point that people, blinded by that rage, are burning down stores in their own neighborhood because they get some extra TV time and they get to send people to their website. If you want to support the fight against racism, go to my website. Now, that could either be Jesse Jackson, that could be Al Sharpton, that could be 110 of the thousands of hucksters that do the exact same thing. But let's get back to the statistics. Let's get back to, as the kids like to say it, because, oh man, for the past 2 months, all I've been hearing is science. Why do you deny science? Trust the science. Well, this is science. This is coming from the CDC. Science! See, and once science disproves your theory, you have to bend to science. Now, if the numbers had come out and said death rate is 10% or 5% or 2% even, reason to be concerned. Again, we've discussed this over and over again. Wash your hands. Be wise. Don't go licking other people on the face when they're coughing. But don't start mandating that I wear a muzzle when I go out of my house, when you have no constitutional authority to demand or mandate that I wear a muzzle when I go out of my house. So data from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention suggests that the novel coronavirus's true fatality rate in these United States, which takes into account mild and asymptomatic cases, stands at 0.26%, about 8 to 15 times lower than earlier mortality rate estimates of between 2 and 4%, which prompted the lockdowns. See, upon reading this, every state should open up, because that comes very close to what an average flu season kills off. Its average flu is what, 0.1 and a half, something around there. This is 0.25. And again, this is because there's so many people that are asymptomatic, they don't even know they had it. If everyone who had it were tested and they were put into the calculus, every person that died of a car accident had their cause of death registered as car accident rather than coronavirus because they tested positive for it post-mortem, then that 0.25 number would be lower still. I guarantee it. Look, there has to come a point, and I hope that the point is very soon, where state by state, there is an in-depth investigation done on the cause of death for the people who perished that were said to have perished from coronavirus. And see, if A, there were underlying comorbidity issues, or B, they died of a gunshot wound to the face, but cause of death said coronavirus because they tested positive postmortem. I guarantee you the numbers will shave off again, perhaps by a lot, because there was a purpose in stoking the fear. There was a purpose in stoking the panic. There was a purpose in making you so afraid that you sit in your house looking out the window, ready to call 911 in case your neighbor went outside. I saw a video of a group of shoppers in Staten Island ready to kill a woman because she wasn't wearing a mask in a store. And this is recent. Oh, they were yelling all sorts of just nastiness at her, chasing her off. Grown men yelling at a woman with children. Brought to you by fear. Brought to you by panic. Because once people give in to panic, once people give in to fear, they lose the ability to reason. Deductive reasoning flies out the window the moment you give in to panic. This is why there are people who drown in 15 inches of water. Because they get so panicky that they can't swim, they won't stand up. All you got to do is stand, and the water's up to your knees. This has been documented. People drown in as little as 15 inches of water because their panic is so all-encompassing that they don't just get up. They flail about until they die. This is what panic can do. And right now the media is doing its best to continue to keep the panic up to a maximum. Will there be a second wave? Will there be a third wave? Is this our new normal forever? No, it's not. Because, hey, the CDC just said mortality rate 0.26%. That is a quarter. Again, I'm repeating this because it's important. Because I know there's some of you that are listening because I've gotten your emails that are, Brother Mike, I wouldn't take this so lightly. I would not make fun of it. I'm not making fun of it. I never said it wasn't real. I never said it wasn't a true virus. My issue was always with the mortality rate. My issue was always that the average death age is 85 years old. My issue is that 103-year-old people are recovering from it and celebrating with a beer. My issue was that they got an entire world to act like sheep without questioning where their authority to compel you to act like a sheep came from. Look, I hope there are lawsuits against every single sanctimonious, double-faced, hypocritical governor that at one side of their mouth is telling their people you're not allowed to go out or will fine you $1,000. And on the other side of their mouth, their husband's trying to get their boat in the water using his wife's position as hopefully leverage. If you haven't heard about it, it's a doozy of a story. You know, you remember Gretchen Obamey Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Well, her goofy husband went to try to have his boat put into the lake. And apparently, you know, the people were backlogged. And by his wife's own declaration, it was illegal to put your wife, your boat in the lake. And yet he had the temerity to go to these people and go, would it make any difference if I said that my wife, the governor, is the reason that I come to you and ask you to place me at the head of the line? Now, at first, Gretchen 999 Whitmer denied the whole thing happened. But then there was enough pushback, and there were people going, nope, he did it, he did it. Where now she says it was just a joke. It was a funny. He made a funny. He said, I am the governor's husband. Please help me out, huh? It was just a funny. Was it really? Because you have the governor of New Mexico breaking quarantine to go buy jewelry. You have the mayor of New York going for walks in the park when he's telling everyone else to stay home. You have the governor of Illinois coming across the border into Wisconsin to spend weekends with his family in Lake Geneva. So, again, I think people, the average citizen, should be fed up not only with the measures that these fools are implementing, but with the hypocrisy thereof. I was reading something, and it was a good article. It made me smile. Some business owners are pledging to keep out customers who cover their faces. And this is, of course, probably in Texas, because only in Texas are people. Yep, it's in Texas. Here, let's get into this, and we'll get back to the 0.26, because we're going to have to balance it out. You see, some people understand the numbers, they believe the science, and they're no longer fearful, and they're no longer willing to be muzzled. Other people don't care a whit about the science, they just want to control. So the only time that science is used or called upon is when it benefits them to keep you locked down, when it benefits them to keep you at home, when it benefits them to keep the economy closed. We talked about this 2 months ago. Just wait and see the suicide rate spike, depression spike, alcoholism, abuse. Well, now they're finally catching up. And they're going, uh-oh, this is a lot worse than 0.26%. Because there are a lot of people in this country that are psychologically incapable of dealing with something like this. They've never known what it is to do without. They've never known what it is to be in isolation. And not all people. Some people like being alone. Some people like the idea of isolation. I'm one of them. I'm perfectly perfectly fine being all by my lonesome. Thankfully, I've got my wife and kids, and, you know, they break me out of my revere once in a while. But I've got no problem with being indoors. My problem is being told by a pencil pusher that I have to be indoors. See, that's when the hairs on the back of my neck start to rise and I get a little antsy. But, and you know what? Like I said before, God bless Texas. For 64 days, Kevin Smith had shut down the Liberty Tree Tavern to comply with government orders. Now he was cleaning and disinfecting and removing stools to cut seating by three quarters as he prepared to open the bar. Plexiglass screens had gone up at the supermarket checkout. His neighbors in Elgin, Texas, were still wearing masks outside even after it was no longer mandated by the county. Sad, isn't it? And again, it's not comparable, yet it is. Because we often wonder how it is that people got in boxcars, or how it is that people snitched on their neighbors for being Jewish back in the Great Unpleasantness. And we're starting to see that it doesn't take a lot for people to do these things. Just slap a "this is for your safety" on it, and you'd be surprised how far people will go, how heartless they will become towards their friends and neighbors and even family. When this thing started ramping up, there were people from the World Health Organization saying we may need to go door to door and just take your family members, the ones that are sick. And nobody pushed back on it. There was no reporter, no head of state going, "That's lunacy. You're insane. What do you mean go door to door and take away people just because they have a cough?" The fact that we've so readily surrendered so many freedoms, the fact that we've so readily given into this narrative to the point that even though it's no longer mandated, people are still wearing masks in their cars with their windows rolled up, is scary to me. Because when a real crisis comes along, when some truly existential problem arises, and it will, imagine how quickly people will turn into something less than human. But let me read on about this bar owner, because you need a little levity. You need to smile. And this made me smile. Plexiglass screens had gone up at the supermarket checkout. His neighbors in Elgin, Texas were still wearing masks outside, even after it was no longer mandated by the county. He did not think such a response was necessary, he said, and he wanted to push back. "Sorry, no mask allowed," read the poster taped to the front door of his bar Friday. "Please bear with us through the ridiculous, fearful times." As statewide coronavirus orders are easing, many stores and restaurants nationwide have taken the opposite route. They have made face coverings a requirement, kicking out those who fail to comply, and even going to court to enforce their directives. Yet, in the emergent culture war over masks, a handful of businesses, the Liberty Tree Tavern among them, are fashioning themselves as fortresses for the resistance. "If we're only allowed to be at 25% capacity, I want them to be 25% of people that aren't girly men, that aren't sheep," Smith told the Washington Post. "Being scared all the time isn't good for your health. It suppresses your immune system. At one Kentucky gas station, no one is allowed inside the adjacent convenience store if they are wearing a mask. Near Los Angeles, a flooring store encourages hugs and handshakes while prohibiting face coverings. The owner of a campground in rural Wisconsin vows to treat clients sporting them inside facilities as he would a robbery in progress. Are you smiling yet? Because I am. This is what needs to happen to open people's eyes to the ludicrous measures that they've taken, especially now when the CDC says that the coronavirus's true fatality rate in the United States stands at 0.26%. And look, it's not for lack of trying, because they're still pumping out numbers. 100,000 dead since the coronavirus started. Well, we're averaging 7,500 people dead a day in America anyway. That's what the average death rate is in America. 7,500 people. So, context, huh? We don't like context much, do we? Especially when we try to make people scared of their own shadow. We don't like context when we're trying to keep people panicky and afraid. Context. 7,500 people a day die in America. That's it. The case, or crude fatality rate, only takes into account confirmed coronavirus cases, excluding people with mild or no symptoms that do not require medical attention. You get that? Meanwhile, the infection fatality rate accounts for the estimated number of mild and asymptomatic cases. It tends to be lower than the crude fatality ratio because it shows that more people have contracted the virus without dying. The 0.26% mortality rate, about 3 in 1,000, linked to COVID-19, the disease produced by the coronavirus, is lower than the death rate predicted by the infamous Imperial College report and other assessments that prompted the lockdown across America. Using data contained in a CDC report last reviewed on May 20th, Daniel Horowitz, a senior editor at Conservative Review, noted in an editorial this month, "For the first time, the CDC has attempted to offer a real estimate of the overall death rate for COVID-19. And under its most likely scenario, the number is, drumroll, 0.26. Officials estimate a 0.4 fatality rate among those who are symptomatic and project a 35% rate of asymptomatic cases among those infected, which drops the overall infection fatality rate to just 0.26. Almost exactly where Stanford researchers pegged it a month ago. And do you know what happened a month ago when the Stanford researchers came out with this percentage? They were kicked off of social media. Anytime you referenced the Stanford study, your YouTube clips were taken down. And if we are so scientifically minded, my question is as follows. Why are we leaning only towards one scientific hypothesis while disregarding the other? Do you understand that since this whole thing started, every media outlet has pumped out only the worst case scenario? We started with 2.6 million people dying. Remember that? A month ago, Stanford came out and said, well, you know, death rate's at 0.26. Disregarded. And it wasn't like the University of Phoenix. It wasn't Mike's Basement College. This was Stanford University. But see, the study that Stanford University came out with in their conclusions didn't undergird the narrative. It didn't make people fearful. It didn't make people panicky. And so it was quickly buried. And anyone that mentioned it was quickly disavowed. Do you think that possibly there may be an agenda here? Just a thought, throwing it out there. Meanwhile, even though the fatality rate is 0.26, almost 40 million people in these United States of America are jobless. These are new claims. Since this started, new claims for unemployment has spiked to 40 million or thereabouts. This week, new claims for unemployment benefits fell to 2.123 million. Data from the Department of Labor showed Thursday. That brings new unemployment claims a proxy for layoffs. Since the coronavirus pandemic began to claim jobs 10 weeks ago, nearly 40 million. And I'm going to say something that very few want to hear. Some of these jobs that were lost are never coming back. Some of these businesses that were forced into a shutdown over a virus that has a 0.26 mortality rate are never going to reopen. Livelihoods have been destroyed. Families have been decimated. All the while, sycophantic, pretentious, sanctimonious people on television earning upwards of $1 million a year are insisting that you're selfish if you want to go back to work. They're insisting that you're selfish if you want to feed your family. Look, if you want to know who the true enemy is, it's not white people, and it's not black people, and it's not brown people. The true enemy is the media that has an agenda, who's propagandizing day in and day out without any sort of repercussion. 40 million people. That's a big number, kids. Because the total employed before all this started was 160 million. It's not like all of the 320 million people in this country worked. 160 million people were gainfully employed before this whole thing started. 40 million of those have lost their jobs. And there are some, granted, who are trying to milk this for all it's worth. Because they're getting, what, $600 a week extra. And even though their bosses called them to come back into work, they chose to stay on unemployment. However, there is a little caveat here. If an individual is contacted by their former employer or current employer and told that they can come back to work, and that individual says, no gracias, because I'm getting more money on unemployment. When that employer reports that employee to the government, that employee must pay back the money that he got illegitimately from the unemployment offices. This thing is far from over. We've created such a stew of foolishness for ourselves that it's hard to see a way out of it all. It really is. 40 million people unemployed over something that a month ago Stanford University said had a 0.26% fatality rate, and now the CDC, of all things, confirms it. That horse is already out of the barn. That dog done barked. That fat lady done sang. And so now we have to deal with the ramifications. Now we have to deal with the fallout. And burning down our own cities isn't the way to go. Now, I did read something that seemed like a bright spot, because I can't just give you all negative news, all sad news. It's not me. I tried to inject a little levity with the business owners that are saying that, please don't wear a mask. We don't want your business if you do. But there's also a little light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to morality in general or as a whole. Germany, of all places, or at least a German court, has rejected non-binary classification without medical certificate. So finally, there is a little pushback to the lunacy. And of all places, it's happening in Germany. Activists have become angered after a German court ruled that citizens would not be able to change their gender to non-binary without medical and other supporting documents. The German Federal Court of Justice has refused to allow a person who identifies as having no gender or being intersex to change their official documents, saying people with only perceived intersexuality are not covered by the German Civil Status Act. Well, that makes it simple, because every person only has a perceived intersexuality. God created man and God created woman. Period. The law passed in December of 2018 allows a third gender option, of course it does, on birth certificates for those deemed not male or female, but requires a medical certificate for those who wish to change their status later in life. Can someone please help me? What is the third option? Neither male nor female, what art thou? Protein? Complex carbohydrate? There must be a pushback on this craziness. Because when there is no pushback on the craziness, when we just go along to get along, they just get worse. They keep pushing the envelope until somebody stands up and goes, this is nuts! The complaint, which was registered by a person born in 1965 and listed as female on their birth certificate, was initially met positively by the Düsseldorf Higher Regional Court, which stated that the individual could change their gender. The federal court reversed the ruling. Well, good on you, federal court. In April of last year, the German Interior Ministry stated the 2018 law was not meant for transgender people, but those who were physically intersex. And as an aside, by the by, as the kids like to say, I was having this conversation with a friend earlier this week. There really isn't much foolishness going on lately, is there? there really aren't that many parents trying to transition their kiddies now, are there? Because see, when your tummy starts rumbling, all the foolishness kind of gets waylaid. When your tummy starts a rumbling, you insisting that your 5-year-old son is actually a girl takes a backseat to survival, doesn't it? But I guarantee you, as sure as today is May the 28th, when this thing passes, when we get a respite, they'll be right back at it. Pushing the agenda, pushing the narrative, because it's the only thing they know how to do. They don't quit. This is why we have to be vigilant. Because the other side doesn't quit, we must be continually vigilant. Because if we're caught asleep at the wheel, this thing is going to go off the tracks mighty quickly. And even if we're awake, it may still. Because there are powerful forces pushing a disastrous agenda for this country. Right now, the newest thing, and it's something that it's their go-to. It's what they push every time they've got no options left. Race baiting and race wars. It started in Minneapolis. It's spread to Los Angeles. Let's see where it goes by weekend. Because what's different between prior times and previous times when these sort of things occurred and now is that the people are already on edge. People's nerves are already raw. They've just gone through 3 months of not knowing whether they were going to live or die, of being told they have to wear a mask and stay inside. You have a lot of pent-up angst. You have a lot of pent-up rage. You have a lot of pent-up anger. And all of these things were looking for an outlet. And whether it's justified or not is beside the point. The outlet has been identified. And the only thing that remains to be seen is whether it will calm. The only thing that remains to be seen is whether cooler heads prevail. Because there are people insisting that it's time for a race war, and it's not who you might think it is. To what end? Who profits? See, that's the thing that you have to ask. Every time you hear these things, these hyperbolic bloviations, the question that you have to ask yourself is, who profits? Every time you see someone trying to induce panic, every time you see someone trying to make others afraid, every time you see someone trying to make others angry, ask the question, who profits? Because if you can identify who profits, then you will understand the underlying reason for why what is being done is being done. Now, thankfully, more and more people are beginning to wake up to the reality of what is going on, such as the gentleman in Texas who said, if you're wearing a mask, you're not welcome, because he realizes that it's not about protecting yourself. And it's not about protecting your neighbor, and it's not about protecting your family. It's about living in fear. It's about being controlled through fear. And the more you allow yourself to be controlled through fear, the more you allow yourself to be controlled through panic, the less ability you will have to reason things out, the less inclined you will be to question the things that you are being told are true. And then you become like that mindless mob that was cursing at a woman in a store for not wearing a mask. This is 2020, Staten Island. This isn't some backwards place in the Amazon where they don't have access to the internet or the newest studies done by the CDC or Stanford. This is Staten Island, New York. And people were ready to lynch a woman for not wearing a mask in a store. Now, just 3 weeks ago, we were told that wearing masks is counterproductive. I've seen how some people wear their masks, and at best, it's a false sense of security. Because if you're fiddling with it all the time, if you're pulling it down to pick your nose, if you're pulling it to the side to smoke a cigarette, if you take it on and off, same mask until it becomes dingy gray from a once blue, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not protecting you, man. It's not even close to protecting you. And some people do have that false sense of security when it comes to wearing a mask and gloves. How many things did you touch with those gloves? And then rub your eyes with the gloves. See, again, if you have no wisdom, then no amount of protective measures will help you. If you're not a rational thinking human being, then you will continue to be a sheep until the point they come and say, all right, you get into this blue truck and you get into this red truck. Why would I do that? For your own safety. Don't question the science. It's science. I think it had to take something like this for us to realize some very fundamental truths. The first and most important thing that we ought to have realized is that our elected officials really are as dumb as we feared they were. See, there's always this sense and this aura of intelligence for people who get elected to higher office, like governor or mayor or whatnot. Their actions over the past couple of months have proven undoubtedly that they're maybe one or two points, IQ points away from being diagnosed as mentally deficient. And I can run down the list of why. When the first thing that you realize is that the elderly are the ones that are most susceptible to dying from this, and the first thing you do is send the elderly back to old folks' homes and forbid them from leaving, allow me to say that I question your intelligence. See, and it's not for lack of trying, because the media tried to prop up Cuomo, didn't they? Oh, the governor of governors. He's responsible for a lot of old people dying. Call it what it is. And even though the media did its best to cover up for him, it still got out. And people are still scratching their heads going, I think Andrew Cuomo killed my grandma. The second thing that we realize is the hypocrisy of our elected officials. Because every single thing they tell you, you must do, they don't. Do as I say, not as I do, the law for thee, but not for me. And that is the very definition of tyranny. And if this is all it takes for us to live under tyranny, if this is all it takes for us to live under tyrannical rule, then perhaps we don't deserve the freedom that so many have fought and died to preserve. I'll say it. Maybe we don't deserve what we've been given as a nation. Maybe we don't deserve to live free. If this is all it takes for us to bow the knee, if this is all it takes for us to become subservient lickspittles who'll put on a muzzle to just walk into a store and buy some banana bread, then maybe we will never more see a great generation. Maybe all the greatness is in the rear view. And all that awaits us is a hellscape of our own making, where you're told what you can do, you're told what you can't do, you're told when you can come out of your house, how you're supposed to be dressed, where you can go, who you can congregate with, down to the most minute of detail. If that's the future that you want, then continue to obey. Because they have big plans, kids. From contact tracing to Google taking your temperature when you touch your phone, to your constitutional rights and protections being stripped away from you, all this being done due to a virus that has a 0.26% mortality rate. That's all it took. That's all it took. 0.26%. So the next time we beat our chest and think that we're the greatest, just remember how many of us were cowards in the face of something that has a 0.26% mortality rate. And with that, I will leave you for the week. May God bless you. May God keep you. And until next time, Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we know we're in perilous times. And like Mike said, it's a powder keg because people are on edge. I just took care of people today here in Watertown. We have so many unemployed. We have so many people probably will not get their job back. And Pizza Hut shut down yesterday because someone got the virus, and now the whole place is shut down. And we really need God. We need the Lord. Only the Lord is going to straighten this mess out. And America needs to return to the Lord. Churches should be full, literally full of people that can only find their hope through Christ. And keep blowing a trumpet, because 2020 is looking like a huge blow the trumpet, watchman on the wall year. And we have an election. We don't know where that's going. We know that there'll be an attempt to steal the election and to try to thwart the electoral process. So we got to be vigilant as Christians and really stand up for what we believe. and stand up for the Lord. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast with Michael Boldea. Each week we have this broadcast, and then we put it up on YouTube. And God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.